Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Jeff McManus grows things. As Director of Landscape Services at the University of Mississippi, he grows plants, people, and ideas. He's a problem solver. He started at Ole Miss in 2000, faced with a multi-million dollar landscaping beautification project, a demand for excellence, high productivity, and a stagnant budget. He realized the key to success was not only growing the plants, but also his people, motivating his landscaping crew to become the best of the best in restoring campus grounds. National recognition when Ole Miss was named Most Beautiful Campus by Newsweek in 2011 and the Princeton Review in 2013, twice winner of the National Professional Grounds Maintenance Society Best Maintained Campus. Jeff has a degree in landscape and ornamental horticulture from Auburn. Remarkable story of taking his grounds employees, affectionately known as weeders, and developing them into leaders in Jeff's highly acclaimed new book, Growing Weeders into Leaders, Leadership Lessons from the Ground Up. Best-selling author, popular speaker, and trainer, award-winning landscape director Jeff McManus with us on This Week in America. Jeff, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, Rick, thank you. It's exciting to be on your show today.
Well, I appreciate that, and so much great information in the book. And the book is interesting, and you pointed out at the very beginning, it's a different type of leadership book. So many we read it from a top perspective down, we really see the lessons you learned basically from the ground.
That's right. It's an organic feel to it. It's what you've got to go out and plant, cultivate, and grow it in-house. I mean, you've got to grow today. You've got to grow leaders from within. We just don't have the time and the talent or the resources to be able to bring in all the talent we need. And so if I have found that growing the talent and developing that talent has made all the difference in the world for me.
I mentioned the mandate you had when you went to Ole Miss. Let's go back to 2000. What were you told when you were hired? And at that point in time, I talk about the beautification of the campus and the fact that it's considered one of the best, if not the best, in the country. That wasn't the case back in 2000, was it?
No, it wasn't. We had a natural, good-looking campus. We were good, but we weren't at that level that we wanted to get to. And my mandate was is, let's get us to be the best of the best. Let's get us to be one of the top campuses, because they know, based on studies, 62% of prospective students will make a decision on coming to a college campus based on the appearance. And that's usually made in the first 5 minutes of a visit. So curb appeal is important. I don't care what you say. I think 62% is a low number personally, because so many people judge a book by its cover. And that's what they do on a college campus. And so we had to have this place looking nice to help recruit not only great students and great athletes, but great faculty and staff to be a part of this winning program.
You know, it's interesting you had a chancellor who was able to see that. And for so many people, it's obvious because that's the first thing you see when you pull into campus. But it may not be the first thing you list when you're going to list it and look at colleges. You had a chancellor that really understood the value of having a campus that's very attractive.
We really did. Chancellor Kayak got it. He was so good. He's retired now. He was good at connecting the dots. Every morning, Rick, he would go out on campus, walk the campus, and it wasn't unusual to see him picking up trash, picking up paper, and just leading by example. One day I called him pulling some weeds, and I said, Chancellor, what are you doing? He said, Rick, you'll love this. He said, I was weeding by example. So he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty.
And that's so important, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, people can read books and be told how they should manage, but if you observe somebody doing that, that's really so much more beneficial.
Absolutely. Modeling the way is so important for our credibility as leaders. And we build influence by the way we set our own life, the way we live our life. If we're too good to pick up paper or we think that's someone else's job, we lose a lot of respect. People realize that we're not willing to get our hands dirty, so to speak, and they want to know they have somebody who cares and wants to go in beside them and help do this. And I think my chancellor at the time was really, really good at empowering us to think, hey, we're in this together. We're going to make this a beautiful campus together.
Jeff McManus, our guest on the program, author of the new book, Growing Weeders into Leaders. The book is available all across the country. Jeff's website is jeffmcmanus.com. You can log on directly to his website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned that the task at hand, you were called in, big goals, the budget was small, and you discovered the secret sauce early, which is I really need to embrace my the employees I have working for me.
That's right. The budget was small, and even today we're one of the smallest budgets in the SEC. It's not about getting tons and tons of money, although that's nice, but it's about being efficient and being productive. And so in order to do that, I needed to grow our people. I needed to grow them from the inside, that they cared, that they had ownership, that when they came to work, they weren't just thinking about a paycheck and getting off on Friday afternoon, but that they had a purpose and that they were excited about being here and wanted this to be their campus and to be the best. And so that was what we focused on, is growing our people and start developing them. And that's, I mean, we have close to the same number of people we had 17 years ago, and we're doing so much more now than what we were then, just because our people are more engaged and bought in.
One of the great lessons from growing weeders into leaders, and it took you around 10 years, I think you said, before you really fully understood this, most leaders spend a lot of their time not developing people, but actually working on the technical aspect. And you decided that ratio needs to be different. I need to focus more on the people who are working here.
That's right. I used to focus, I think I said 80%. And it was a lot. I used to focus a lot on the technical aspect, making sure people knew how to prune, how to mow, the technical aspect. And I spent very little time developing them on the inside, their heart, that caring part, those core values. And when I started focusing more on that aspect of developing their core values, our trust went up, our communication got better, everything started working, and problems went away, drama went away. It was just magical what focus on the core values changed our group and our dynamic.
You share lessons you learned about cultivating a culture of excellence. And number one is articulating your core value. That seems rather simple, but when you think about it, there are a lot of people that go into to leadership positions and really, in fact, you say even write it down, because if you write it down, chances are you're going to remember it and follow it.
That's right. That's right. We started off with our vision of just, it was just a real simple, be the best of the best. And we talked about that for years and getting people to have that pride in what we did. And that worked great. And then we started talking about, okay, what's our new vision? And one of our college students who worked with us said, hey, I think what we really do here is we're cultivating greatness. And those two words have become our vision, the cultivating the greatness. We're out there growing not only plants, but we're growing people. We're recruiting people for this university to grow. And so that greatness goes on well beyond us. And so that's part of our vision, part of what we are. But then we even took that a few steps further in creating our own landscape creed. And that really has really unified us in that experience of bringing together not only teamwork, but a sense of what it is that we stand for.
The next step you had was building momentum with some quick successes. And so often we have goals, and they may be long-term. It may be 5 years before you see something, and it's sometimes very difficult to go on a journey that long. You say it's really important. Get some low-hanging fruit. Get some gratification and build on that.
That's right. Get those short wins, those small wins. It's like in football. You need to get a first down. You need to get some completions and build on that momentum. And we did little things that became big visual things that people enjoyed, whether we did a flower bed or we trimmed certain trees that people would notice. And our people started getting a lot of dattaboys and good jobs, and they started getting the confidence in themselves. And those wins became critical for us to help change the culture.
And talk about that. In the book, Growing Weeders into Leaders, you talk a lot about celebrating the harvest. That really is an important part of this process, isn't it?
That's right. If you don't take the time to celebrate from time to time, you just keep working that list over and over, and it's just a grind, and people get burnt out. You need to have know what those victories are and celebrate them from time to time. And so we would do that. We would we have lunches, or we'll just stop and have recognitions. But we like to talk about those celebrations, and whether they're having a great event, maybe we're cleaning up after football games, or whether we're getting all the leaves cleaned up on campus like it is this time of year, we take time to have a nice breakfast and tell everybody thank you and just celebrate that, and knowing that everybody has that good feeling that they're accomplishing something great together as a team.
You focus a lot on fun team-building events. You've mentioned several you like to do, getting people together for a meal, that type of thing. Laugh Olympics sounds interesting. Talk about that, because that really encourages camaraderie.
Well, sure. People want to enjoy what they do. They want to be proud of what they do, and you know, they want to have that sense of pride and enjoy it, not have that tension. And so one of the things we came up with years ago was to try something different. We had seen some parts of some conferences we've been to of people having lawnmower races where they went through an obstacle course on a lawnmower. And so we incorporated that into our Laugh Olympics, and we just took a half a day where we just took a couple hours and just had a good time, had pizza and a good time, and just got to know one another. And it's part of team building, you know, is enjoying one another and have those good experiences together.
With us on This Week in America, Jeff McManus. He's the author of the new book, Growing Leaders into Leaders, the book available all across the country. Information at Jeff's website, which is jeffmcmanus.com. Jeff is a popular speaker and trainer. Information on those aspects of his career as well at the website. You can link on directly to Jeff's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Interesting, in the book you talk about the Monday morning meeting, and I'm sort of visualizing this, and I can see the transformation visually as I'm reading the book. Talk about that, because this wasn't, you realized, a Monday morning meeting, or whenever we have a meeting, it's me talking, and really you change that dynamic to now it's everybody else sort of talking, and you're back with a smile on your face thinking, I just made some leaders out of these people.
Exactly. Well, we found the value of people leading themselves was just phenomenal, because when people lead themselves, they don't need as much direction. They don't need as much attention. And so part of growing leaders in our culture and in our department was to let them have more of a vested role in what was happening. And one of those is our Monday morning meetings. It used to be that I stood up and led the meetings and did all the talking. I realized that it was okay, but it wasn't great. And so I began to let other people lead the meeting and have even more people participate. Maybe somebody would teach a plant identification. Maybe somebody else would teach a safety class. And before we knew it, we had a lot of participation. Everybody had gotten to lead the meetings. And so people were more attentive. It meant more because they had ownership in it and they had a part in it. Something that I picked up from Toastmasters as well is just to have an agenda and then follow that agenda and let each person be successful in what they were doing.
Interesting, in the book you talk about broadening your horizons, and so often we see organizations become insular. Your first year on the job, you've got this mandate to, you've got time, let's go ahead and implement the beautification project that we want to do, but yet you looked outside, expanding your horizon and that of the people that were working in the department.
Well, it was a lot going on that first couple of years. There was a lot of challenges that we had to deal with. The culture was very, I guess I would describe it as very toxic. It was a very negative culture. And so trying to get people on your team, trying to get the expectations of the bosses met at the same time, there were a lot of things going. It was a lot of long days. And I wished I had started earlier focusing on the core values. If I'd have focused on the core values earlier, I think we could have turned it quicker. But it was a process. A few people, you know, would leave in the organization as things changed, and eventually the culture did change. But focusing on developing people really became the winning touchdown for us.
An important part of that is how to recognize a leader from a weeder. Talk about what goes into that, because you see some people, and they seem to be very happy being a weeder.
Well, when I talk about that in the book, Growing Leaders into Leaders, it's more of an attitude and a mindset.
Yes.
Of working from just for a paycheck and a pension to having a purpose and a passion. And you may be very happy pulling weeds, but I want you to be the best weed puller in the world. I want you to be so good that people who are walking outside these buildings stop and ask you questions about the plants, that you're the leader, that you've taken so much pride in your area that you are really the leader. And, of course, everybody leads one person every single day, and that's themselves. And so we want you to lead yourself so well that it really ripples through in a positive way through our organization that affects us all to continue to grow and get better.
Growing Weeders into Leaders, the topic, that's the new book by Jeff McManus. We're talking with Jeff on today's This Week in America, Leadership Lessons from the Ground Level. Information at Jeff's website, jeffmcmanus.com. Books available all across the country.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170. People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.